Well, it was good to see that red-headed guy back up here, wasn't it? He used to be red-headed anyway. I think there's a little mixed message there. But anyway, great to have you back, Brother Rick, and also appreciate Noelle Swofford helping us out tonight. I think she's going to do okay. I think she's fair. So we appreciate her helping us out. Well, anyway, one of the words in the glossary that we put in the bulletin, the mission words glossary, is restricted access nation or creative access nation. And the nation to which God has called Sean and Suzanne is one of those nations, or really is becoming one of those nations. Historically, it's not been so much so, but it's becoming more and more. I understand, Sean, and I'd like for you to clarify this when you get up here, but I understand that they are passing more and more laws all the time to restrict access. I don't know exactly what is motivating that, but to that country. And so I think it's harder and harder to go in as a missionary, maybe impossible to go in as a missionary. But I'm curious to find out the facts about that. And it's so good to have someone that you know, have known for a while, know his family, and you're going to get the straight dope from LaShawn about what's going on there and what their work is. Brother, you are very welcome. The Lord bless you. Come, if you would, please, sir.
Again, my name is Sean Canavan. I'm here with my wife, Suzanne, our three children, Abigail, Timothy, and Stephen. And when we're on furlough, I always like to point out to people, you notice how Suzanne and I are a little older. It wasn't that we wanted to wait till we were older to get married. That's just the way God worked it out. You know, when I was in Bible college, I thought God would lead me to the right wife. Didn't happen there. I went off to Assistant Pastor Michigan. I thought the Lord would lead me to the right wife there, and it didn't happen there. I thought went to help out a church in Georgia. I thought God would lead me to the right wife there, and it didn't happen there. Didn't happen until I began deputation. And on deputation, God led me to the right wife. And Suzanne, as you heard, the same way, waited 14 years for God to send the right woman. We always like to encourage young people, wait on God. He, in His timing and in His way, will lead you to the right one. We're all different, but God, in His timing and His way, will lead you to the right one. And so I wholeheartedly amen what Pastor Miles said. When we went to India, we met a man named Brother K.M. Rao. When I went on a mission trip, a man introduced me to Brother Rao, and he told me Brother Rao would be the best person in India you can work with. And we really believe God in His providence brought us together, because as Pastor Miles said, it's very difficult to go into a country that's closed to missionaries and to find a place to live and to find a place to minister and a way to get around. And so we really believe that God worked that out for us. Now, when I was first on deputation, I had several people tell me, you cannot go there and live. And I just had to say, well, I believe God's called me there, so I'm going to keep trying to go there. And when we went there, we went on a tourist visa. And at the time, now in 2006, they had a policy where for a tourist visa, it was 6 months in and 6 months out. In 2010, when we went there, they had a policy. It was 6 months in and 2 months out. In 2012, they changed that to, for a tourist visa, you can stay in for 6 months, and they do not specify how long you have to stay out. And so for the last two times, we only went out for a few days and went back in. So as far as tourism, it's been opening up for tourists, because of the economy. They know that tourists help the economy. However, they just elected this year a Hindu fundamentalist president. And so we would ask you to pray for the situation in India. We've heard from other missionaries that it is more difficult for them in their situation. But as far as us right now, it's gotten a little easier. And we're just thankful for the way that God opened that door for us. And now we can live there, we can stay there, and we praise the Lord for it. It's what they call a rotating door. We go out and have to come back in, but we praise the Lord for the opportunity to be there. When we first arrived in India, Suzanne said we left in December 2010. Brother Rao met us at the airport, and he had a flat reserved for us. Now, Brother Rao's daughter and son-in-law live and work in Texas. They bought the flat for him and in 2006, I think, or 2008 perhaps. But the first year, they didn't have electricity, and so he decided he didn't want to live there. Well, some people did live there with no electricity for a year. He found another place to live, and so when we got there in 2010, we'd been up for probably 34 or 36 hours at that point. He had brought us around. We had to get some pictures, and we had to get some things taken care of before we could, you know, go home and get some rest. And so when we got there, it was December 10th or December 11th, yet it was hot. It was 80 degrees, and it was very humid. And so we've been up for 36 hours, very hot, very humid. We get to the flat, and the elevator's out, the power's out. So when the power's out, they don't have a generator for the elevator. So we had to walk up five flights of stairs. Then we walk into this flat, and we saw it. There's no carpet anywhere. Of course, there's no carpet. We didn't know at the time, but no carpet anywhere in India, in our city. The walls are cement walls, and we looked at that, and I said to Brother Ralph, I said, you know, is there another place we can live or look at? And he said, sure. And he showed us a place down the road. We looked at that, and we realized we had a pretty nice flat, and we walked back. And now we love our flat. We're thankful for it. When we first got there, Brother Ralph was running a school. He had raised money from America, built a school in 2006. He's been in education most of his life. We worked with Brother Ralph as a national pastor. He was born and raised in India, came to America for schooling, for college, and then went back for Bible college, and went back and started his first church in 1973. And since that time, he has planted 14 churches. And so we are privileged, and we're thankful that we can work alongside him. Along with that, he started a school, and when we first got there, we taught in the school for a year and a half. Suzanne and I both taught English at the school to help him out. And that school that he had was for the purpose of raising money to help the ministry. When we arrived in India, the First Baptist Church, I'm going a little out of order here. When Brother Rao started in 1973, he started the First Baptist Church of Cross, and his model has been stay in this church and from this church plant other churches. That's been his model. The First Baptist Church of Cross, by the 2000s, had gotten old, and when we got there, it was no longer being able to be used, so they were meeting in temporary shelter. And so we met in that temporary shelter till August, and soon after we arrived there, Brother Rao was given the permission. He had so much red tape to go through, so much red tape. For years, he was trying to build the building, and finally went to a guy, and the guy said, you know, go ahead and build it, but don't tell anybody I told you to do it. And so that's how he had to build the building. And he still has to go to see the lawyer often about working out the details of that building. But while the building was being built, he looked up when they're putting textured paint on the ceiling. It fell down and hit him in the eye. And he had very bad eye problems and was no longer able to run the school. And so he leased the school out to another school. And so Suzanne and I taught there for about a year. And then after that, we're kind of thankful that we were able to, although we didn't put a lot of time in there, we were able to just focus on our language and our study. And we knew that when we went to India, we could not get a traditional language school like a lot of people. And we really wish we could have, but that was just not an option for us. And we knew that since we could not get a traditional language school, we'll have to go through a tutor. We decided to get busy in the work right away. And after a few weeks of getting adjusted to the culture, I began teaching Sunday school. I still teach Sunday school every Sunday there while we're there. After about a year, when the new building was built, I began preaching on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And so we're thankful for the opportunity to work there as we learn the language and the culture. And we would ask you if you would continue to help us as we learn the language. We prayed. Brother Rao helped us to find a tutor. It took us several months to find a tutor. By the time we found a tutor, I had learned the alphabet. I was trying to learn vocabulary, but our tutor, Dr. Lavanya, brought us up a level and really helped us. Idi chala kastam basha kani nedichkontanano. It's a very difficult language, but we are learning. But it's so important that we become proficient in this language. And we've been studying, and we continue to study, and we tell every church we go, please pray that God would, in a miraculous way, really, if it be His will, that He would help us to quickly, more quickly become proficient in the language. It's very important. While we're there at the church, we, of course, I preach, and then we also go out. I'll go out with one or two men from the church. There's a man there named Dr. Naidu who I go visiting with. He was a village doctor, and he's worked with the leprosy patients. He's a member of our church. He and I will go out, and there's another man who teaches math, or as they say there, maths. He teaches maths in English. He's in an English standard school, and he and I will go visiting, and we go out there and we'll visit our church members, and when the Lord gives us opportunity, we are able to witness to people. And as far as now, the people who we've been able to witness to are people who we know or people who our church members know, and that gives us an open door to be able to witness them. We've witnessed to our tutor a number of times. She's a very devout Hindu, and we have not been able to break through yet. But if you would please pray for Dr. Lavanya. We want to see her saved, and we're hoping we'll be able to get back with her as soon as we get back into India. We witnessed to Suzanne's doctor, Dr. Sujeta. She was not open. We had a man call us one time, and he called Mr. Jawaharlal and said, "I see y'all go out visiting." Told him that he saw us going visiting, and he was in the hospital about to have a major surgery, and asked us if we could go by the hospital and pray for him. And so we said, "Sure, we'll go and pray for him." We went there. I prayed for the man. Later, we went to visit his house, and we tried to witness to him there. And I witnessed to him there, and of course, through an interpreter. Right now, it's through an interpreter. And when we got to give you an understanding of some of the language barrier there, when we got done, we were driving away. Mr. Jawaharlal said he's a believer. And I said, "He's a Christian?" He said, "No, he's a believer." I was like, "Well, if he's not a Christian, what do you mean by that?" He said, "Well, he believes that there's only one God, but he has not yet trusted Christ." So this man is not yet saved. We're praying for him. We've tried to go back to witness to him, but we've not been able to. Sometimes when my son and I'll take my little boy when he got older, we'll go out and try and witness to people and pass out tracts, but not knowing the language well enough, we're just passing out tracts, and people are nice. Some will take it and some won't. But that's the ministry that we're in right now. Also, Mr. Jawaharlal had a man call him who he used to work with and he had witnessed to in the past. And he asked him to come visit him. So we went, and this was probably 30, 40 kilometers away. We visited this man. I was able to witness to him through Brother Jawaharlal. He made a profession of faith. And so we praise the Lord for that. And we're thankful for the opportunity that God has given us to witness there. Also, we have begun about a year or two ago, having Bible studies every month or two at our church members' homes. And this is really a good way to have people come out who wouldn't ordinarily go to church, you know, and some may go to a different church, who knows what they're preaching, but they'll come to the relatives or neighbors, and they'll come in, and we'll have a man give a testimony, we'll sing some songs, and then I will preach through an interpreter. And so we're thankful for the opportunity that God's given us. We see the Hindu religion up close. We see the people that are very devout to their religion. When, as Suzanne said, both our boys were born in India. When our first son, Timothy, was born, the doctor wanted Suzanne to come back for an ultrasound. And by the way, when you have an ultrasound, it's against the law to find out what your baby is in India, for obvious reasons, because life there in Hinduism, when you believe in reincarnation, life means very little. And so it's very easy for somebody just to get an abortion. But the doctor said, "Suzanne, I want you to come in, have an ultrasound." It was just before Timothy was born. It was September. He'd born September 2nd. So it was about September, end of August or September 1st. And every year they have this festival to their god Ganesh. Of course, Hinduism, they have millions of gods. But in our area, we see certain festivals, and they have many festivals. They have a festival for Ganesh around October, and they go according to the Hindu calendar, so it's different every year. But we'll see them building these shrines. And when we first saw it, we were puzzled. What are they building all over the city? Just little shrines everywhere. Well, they'll build these shrines. They'll put a statue of Ganesh in it, their idol, and they'll worship it. Sometimes they'll blast music through there, and they'll worship him for 2 weeks. Even in our hotel, in our apartment, they'll set up a shrine to Ganesh. Well, they have their 2-week festival, but they also have the main day, the start day, where everybody takes off work, and that was the day that our doctor told Suzanne to come to the hospital, and we waited for 3 hours for the man to come to give the ultrasound. But as we're waiting there, when is he ever going to come? And the lights were out, hardly anybody at the hospital. I walked up there to ask the lady, you know, is anybody to come? And I had seen that they had turned the pharmacy into a shrine. They had a guru there with his plate of fire. I got my camera out and I got a little bit of video. You'll see it in our video, and he's going around and people trying to do this. What you don't see, and I cut this out, was one man took my daughter. He took my daughter and he was going to put her up to the smoke, and I said, no, don't do that. And he looked at me like, what are you talking about? But anyways, I'm sorry. But we have that in our video. We see out our window the worshiping of the snakes. One time a year they'll get up. Certain people, not everybody, but certain people will dress up in their best clothes. They have their eggs. They go out in the field, and really from our apartment complex we can see them out in the field digging around looking for the snakes so that they can worship them. In our video also, our apartment complex has the god they worship is a head about the size of your fist that looks like it comes in a bubblegum machine. It's about this big, but they put things around it and they worship. They worship that. These people are deceived. There's 1.2 billion people in India. 80% of them are Hindu, 13% Muslim, and only 2.3% profess faith in Christ. You know, when Satan told Eve, the lie in the Garden of Eden, he said, God told Adam and Eve, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Well, Satan came along behind them and told Eve, you know, ye shall not surely die, but in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, that was not the last time that Satan told that lie. He's been continually, throughout history, telling that lie, and the Hindu people believe that lie. They believe that if over the period of enough lifetimes they do enough good deeds, they believe that they will one day get to heaven and be part of that one great unity which is God. And with that lie, Satan is leading multitudes to a literal burning fiery hell. We praise the Lord for the opportunity to worship there. Another way to help you understand how they think. One night it was a Wednesday night, I was preaching, even before I got to the church, my tooth started hurting bad. And it hurt so bad, I knew I had to see a dentist. Brother Al pointed me out to a dentist. And I went to this dentist, and I have a family Facebook page. And it was like $200, I had to get a root canal, it's about $200. My sister commented that, well, that's kind of cheap. And so I documented all the things that happened to me at the dentist. And my brother Chris read that and said it was one of the funniest things he ever read. And it's funny now, but it wasn't funny then. But but after the treatment was done, he and I were talking, and he mentioned Christmas. And I thought, well, great opportunity. I witnessed to this man. I said, well, you are a Christian. And this is what he said, and I'll quote, no, but I love Jesus. Well, it's impossible to love somebody who you don't know or who you've rejected. And over there, when you have millions of gods, Jesus Christ is just another one of them that they like to add. I know we hear of people going over there and seeing hundreds saved, and God can do anything. God can and will save. But we have not seen that kind of results yet. But we're praying and trusting that when we learn the language, we will be able to reach that many people. We are going to learn our language for another year. Our plan is we go back in 2 weeks. We'll stay at the First Baptist Church for another year, continue our language study, continue our work there, and then go out and plant our first church. We're going to go out. If we can, we're going to stay where we're living. You don't have to go real far, maybe 30 or 40 kilometers, and then go out there and start a church. And so we're excited about what the Lord's doing there. We're excited about the opportunity. Brother Rao also is 72 years old, and his plan for us is, as soon as we become fluent, take over this work and follow his model. Take over this work, and then we're going to follow his model of planting churches. And so we're excited about what God has for us. You know, we're not seeing a whole lot of people saved right now, and it can be discouraging, but we are thankful for the opportunity to be there, and we trust God, and we know that all things are possible through him, and we trust God that we will see a harvest, and hopefully not too long from now. Now to show you our DVD presentation, and then if you have any questions, be happy to answer any questions you have for me.
God has called us to preach the gospel to the people of India.
Waru chikatilo nundi, veligu nikani, satanu argaramu nundi, devuni waipukunu terigi, na yadi viswasamu cheta papakshamu pananu, parisuta parachubarina, wadilo swasnamunu pondanutlu, wadu kasnulu terichu katai, nenu ninu wadi yodaka pampedanani chepenu, apostolalu kadimulacha, yedawe adu padamati.
When I started deputation, I was a single man. I met my wife, Suzanne, at a mission conference in 2008, and we were married in 2009. Since then, God has blessed us with three wonderful children, Abigail, Timothy, and Stephen. After completing deputation, we packed our belongings and headed to India. We arrived in the city of Vishakhapatnam on December 9, 2010. When we arrived in India, we were met at the airport by Brother K.M. Rao. Brother Rao is a national pastor and church planter. He had a flat reserved for us and helped us in many ways as we moved in. Soon after we arrived, Brother Rao allowed us to be involved in the ministry of First Baptist Church of Karasa and Sojanya International School. Our intention when we arrived in India was to take a few years to learn the language and adapt to the culture. The Lord has put us in a unique situation where we have been able to minister as we learn. Our first year and a half, Suzanne and I both taught at the school. We were blessed to teach the children and speak at several special gatherings throughout the year. We are so thankful that the Lord has allowed us to be actively involved in the ministry of First Baptist Church of Karasa. Brother Rao has been preaching in this area since 1973. In the time that he's been here, he has helped establish 14 churches. We are thankful for the opportunity to minister alongside him as we learn the language and culture. We live in the state of Andhra Pradesh in India. The people of this state speak the language of Telugu. Brother Rao helped tutor us when we first arrived in India. Later, after much prayer, God helped us get in contact with an experienced tutor. Dr. Lavanya has been teaching Telugu for many years. She has been a great help to us in our language studies. When we arrived in India, the First Baptist Church was meeting in a temporary shelter. After many difficulties and trials, Brother Rao was finally given permission to build the First Baptist Church of Karasa. We had the inauguration service in August of 2011 and began using it the following week. In addition to our regular services at the church, we have been blessed with the opportunity to minister in other ways. Each week, I will go out with one or two men from the church. We will visit our church members and witness to people as the Lord gives opportunity. We have begun having Bible studies each month in some of our church members' homes. This is a wonderful opportunity to preach to other family members and friends of our church members, people who would not ordinarily come to church. In these meetings, we will begin by having a few songs, and sometimes a church member will give a testimony. Then I will preach, and another man will interpret for me. In our time here, the Lord has allowed us to be involved in three Christian weddings. Two of them were for children of our church members. Indian weddings are a series of ceremonies. The wedding ceremonies are a wonderful time to see and experience a different culture. I was privileged to preach in a ceremony for one of the brides. This ceremony takes place a day before the actual wedding. At that time, the groom comes to get his bride. And then after the ceremony, he takes her home to his family's home, and then they have the wedding the next day. We got a call one morning to come and preach the funeral service of one of our church members. This woman had faithfully come to the church for many years. When we arrived, the body was in a wooden casket on a table in front of the house. It was a privilege to preach to those who had gathered about Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. In addition to the First Baptist Church of Karasa, Brother Rao has helped establish churches in 13 other areas. As the Lord has provided, he has been able to help these pastors build new buildings in several of those places. In January of 2011, we were blessed to see two church buildings completed. Then in October of 2011, the Lord allowed me to preach the opening service of the Smarts Grove Baptist Church in Maravalasa. This church is located about 80 kilometers or 50 miles from Visakhapatnam. We have a one-day pastors' conference twice a year with the pastors from these churches. In these meetings, both Brother Rao and I will teach. We will teach them for 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the evening. I've been able to visit most of these churches and preach in many of them. It has been a wonderful blessing to work in the First Baptist Church of Karasa for the past 3 years. In that time, we have been able to get a better grasp of the language and learn the culture. When we return to India in October, we plan to work with the First Baptist Church for another year. In that time, we will continue to preach and teach at the church and continue to learn how to better speak the language. Then, in the fall of 2015, we intend to plant our first church. In our time in India, we have seen the stronghold that Satan has on these people. India is a land of many idols and many false gods. We have also seen how the Hindu religion seeps into every fabric of Indian society, from the way the people live on a day-to-day basis, to the way they dress, and the many festivals they celebrate throughout the year. We have observed it in the Hindu wedding ceremonies and in the death rituals. We have seen firsthand the deep spiritual poverty and how Satan has ravaged these people's lives in complete spiritual blindness. We have seen fields that are white unto harvest, but far too few laborers. We thank you for partnering with us to reach the lost and helpless in India. Please continue to pray for these people. Pray that God will send others and that many there will be turned from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God.